Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. Mike Dean is making his first appearance on our program today to talk to us not only about his fascinating book, What If I Had a Father, but what it's been like for him to ponder that question with other young people and to be able to see the response. I think the other thing that Mr. Dean really does really well, and we're going to talk about it during this segment, is being able to show other people how we can be able to stand in the gap and to be that source of inspiration and encouragement and the help that a lot of young people need today, especially if they're in a situation where they don't have a father in their life. If you just know hearing about the book, we'll tell you a little bit later how you can stay connected with Mr. Dean, as well as, of course, how you can keep up with all the great events coming up for him. Mr. Dean, hello to you, and welcome to the program.
Well, how you doing, man? I'm glad to be here.
Okay, the pleasure's definitely all mine. Congratulations to you again on the book, What If I Had a Father. We're going to talk more about that and let our audience know later how they can get it for themselves. You know, this is an interesting question, you know, and I thought about it when I was prepping for your segment. My father was killed when I was 4 years old. My younger brother was one. I was thankful enough a couple years later that my stepfather came into our lives, so we were able to have, you know, a stable father figure there. Unfortunately, not everybody is in that situation, Mr. Dean, as you know, and they don't have that individual that they can look up to, be able to learn from, and to be able, of course, to pull wisdom from. What has it been like for you to address this question and to be able to see the response to it?
Well, you know, it's a question that a lot of people have. It's not a hot topic, though. I mean, it's not a hot topic in barbershops and beauty salons. People have this question inside of them. And when I do small groups or large groups and we have these conversations, people have, there's all kind of emotions. Some people hate their father. Some people wish they had a relationship with their father. It's just kind of an amalgam of issues and emotions that attach itself with this whole what if question.
Right, exactly. So as you said, you bring up a good point, which I think is a great segue to the writing of this book. It is, for a lot of people, a personal thing. They don't like, especially guys, we don't like to talk about, you know, the what is. We don't like to talk about anything that may make it seem as though we're lacking anything. What made you say that this isn't just something you wanted to tackle internally, but then to be able to chronicle in a book and to share it?
Well, a bunch of reasons, but one of the main reasons, just looking around my community, the community I grew up in my city, and most of the homes that people that I know personally, a lot of people don't have a father in the house, whether biological or stepfather. And you can see, you know, kind of some of the outcomes in terms of people dropping out or going to prison or going to jail. Just in general, I mean, people just not really going to that next level, not being pushed. And you can also see how it affects the mothers as well, really not being able, especially when she's kind of raising her boys, being able to give them that punch, if you will, that voice that she can't say it once. She got to repeat herself over and over again to get it across to them. So having that father in the home, I didn't have my dad, and seeing how my siblings, because my mother had five children, and I'm the oldest, of course, and her other children, the four children, my brother and my sister, they had their dad, and so I got a chance to see how he loved them, but he didn't really show that affection to me. And so Christmas came around, I didn't get gifts from him. When it was time to get clothes for school, I didn't get anything. He got those for his children, and that always made me want my own dad. I'm like, where is my dad? So that, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think the other side of it, though, and I have had this conversation recently on this program, Mr. Dean, and that is that, you know, everything, and even we have these great biblical examples of sometimes, as what Joseph so famously said to his brothers, you know, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. Have you found, though, that it has made you, though, a better person in the sense that you realize what is necessary so that you won't make the same mistakes that may have been made in your case?
Of course, I think it strengthened me. I think it helped me to be a better father on my end. It helped me to be a part of my children's life, and kind of just every day I get to see my kids, my children grow up, and it's a beauty. In fact, I've been taking them to camp every day for the last, like, 2 weeks. And to drop them off at camp, day camp, and just kind of kiss them and sign them in and just show them just kind of that love that that's natural. I just think it helps me even to mentor others that I can see that pain that I went through, the pain I didn't want to talk about. And finally, I've been able to release it on my own, on my end, and, you know, being able to kind of express that to others.
Right, and I think that brings up a whole lot of topics I want to get into. For those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. Mike Dean is our guest for this segment. We're talking with him not only about the journey to writing the book, with Ask the Question, What If I Had a Father, but also what it's been like for him to answer that in his own life, and then, of course, to be able to help others to appreciate how they can be able to become better in spite of what their situation was like growing up. You know, trauma is another thing that we address a lot on this program, Mr. Dean, and as you know, in talking with individuals, there are so many people, especially young people, that are damaged because of what they did not have, damaged because of what was done to them growing up, or what they felt like the slights that may have been there, like what you were describing that you may have gone through. Those are not easy things to be able to heal over. And then, of course, there's always the fear of, will I repeat the cycle? Did you find yourself asking that question as you became a father?
I don't, in terms of repeating the cycle, I made a vow to myself early on. To be there for my children. My wife, when she was younger, we were in high school, we had our first child. And she was pushed by her father, which her biological father, he was never in her life, but I don't know where he came. And he was pushing her to have an abortion. And I told her, I said, look, you know, I don't want you to have an abortion. I said, I'm going to be here. I promise. I'm not leaving. I promise I'm going to be here. And so I made that commitment at that point. Although I was in high school, although I was couch surfing, I made that commitment to her. And I feel like I lived up to that so far.
Yeah.
And now my daughter, she's in high school.
Yeah.
I'm in college.
Wow. Gotcha. So I was just going to ask you, Mr. Dean, so where do you think that courage to follow through came from? Because, I mean, you know, just like I know, a lot of guys say that, you know, hey, don't worry, you know, I got you, you know, I'm going to be here. They don't always follow through. What is it that you think helped you to live up to that commitment?
Well, she didn't ask to be here. It was my fault, you know. She didn't summons me from the other side saying, hey, Dad, I want to come into the world now. No, that was her mother and I, and we did what we did, and boom, here comes a baby, innocent baby, coming into a world that's pretty cold, as you know. And I just couldn't see myself with all the love that I have, and I have good mentors growing up, people like my Uncle Suge and Pastor Caldwell and many others that showed me and gave me examples on how to be a good man and how to, you know, show love to my children and my community.
Yeah, what a great thing. And I ask you those questions because I think, you know, for a lot of people out there, you know, they want to do. And I'm an optimistic individual, and I like to think that people want to do the right thing. Unfortunately, though, especially when they haven't had the examples, it's not always that easy to do it. And then, of course, there's the feeling of, okay, am I even worthy of it? Am I even worthy of being, you know, father for sure? So, you know, as you look now at the work that you're able to do, I mean, we've been talking about the book, but also you're a motivational speaker and able to shepherd individuals in other ways. I mean, do you feel as though everything that you've gone through, everything that you experienced, even not having that father figure, has really prepared you to be the best that you can at these new areas of your life?
Absolutely. I look at my life and I'm like, whoa, how did I make it? I mean, wow, how did I get here? And to be a testimony, for people that, hey, look, if I can make it, you can make it. And that, and most of the things that I speak is experience. So when I talk to people, when I share with people, it's experience. And so people can relate to a lot of the stories or even some of the situations that I've been able to pull through by the grace of God and the help of, you know, others to really connect with people to say, hey, look, I made it through selling drugs. I almost went to prison, but I didn't. You know, I grew up without my father. You can still make it. You can still go to college. You can still pay your bills. You know, you're going to have that pain. That it is what it is there. But at some point, you know, we can be the change we wish to see, just like Gandhi said. So that's kind of where I'm at, man. You can make it. You have the choice. You have the choice to be there. You have the choice to stay there and contend with your child, to help groom your child, to help be there for your child or children.
Right. And I think that is a thing, and I think that choice is an important thing for all of us to be able to realize. So, you know, let's talk about some of the effects. I mean, of course, we've been talking about for yourself what it's been able to do for you and what you've been able to do. But, I mean, now to know that you're able to, you know, to help other people to realize that where they begin doesn't have to be the end. Has part of your mission also been, Mr. Dean, to be able to allow parents, you know, especially fathers who maybe they did mess up, maybe they were not there, to let them know that as long as there's breath in their body, they still have a way, at least a pathway, to try to make things right, or at least to do their best to make things right?
Yeah, you, I mean, we've, in fact, I had a radio show probably for like 8 months. I called it Holler at Me with Mike Dean, and it was specifically about the whole fatherhood issue. And we brought fathers on that, I interviewed fathers like the average Joe father, or just fathers in general that were there or not there. So we can kind of get a holistic perspective on what happened and how can we reconnect and where do we start. You know, how's the relationship with your mother, with the child's mother? How's your relationship with the parents? When the last time you saw your child? Where do we start and how do we dive in and humble ourselves to gain that relationship and take it one day at a time? So there's been fathers that reunited with their children because of those conversations.
Yeah, and that in itself, I mean, says so much as well. I think that you know, I think too, you know, unfortunately, and, you know, this is something I think we all have to deal with. I mean, there's a lot of entertainment out there, and I use that term kind of lightly, that does not always show especially fathers in the or men, I should say, in the best of light. But I think, you know, there are other, you know, great avenues out there. You mentioned some of the individuals that have been instrumental in helping you to stay on track. What is it like for you now to know that you are that guy for someone else, that now because of you, other people will realize what's possible for them?
Well, since you know, like yesterday I was speaking to a group of young people, 18 to 24, and we just kind of had a small group, and we were talking about this very same issue, and I allowed them to vent. Like, some people just can't, like, they hold it in. It wasn't about judging. It wasn't about, you know, trying to even give any explanations. It was, for a moment, it was just all about just get it off your chest. Just speak how you feel. And then we'll talk about other things later. So just people have an opportunity to share how they felt about their father. I mean, one guy, his father beat his mother all the time, and he saw that. He couldn't wait to get bigger so he can get back at his dad. You know, you know, just all kind of stuff. One sister I spoke to, she ended up dating her brother and didn't know it.
Wow. You know, and again, it really does show how our actions, how it really can have an effect on others as well. Did you find, you know, one of the things that is not always the easiest, I think, for myself, my biggest journey was being able to do this for myself, but I think for other people it is difficult as well, forgiveness. I mean, being able to forgive the individual. You talk about, you know, even through your radio platform, Mr. Dean, being able to bring people together. And then, of course, even in what you're just sharing about being able to vent, what was that like for you to get to a place where you could forgive and be able to move on? Not so much for the father that was not there or the fathers that are not there for these other young people, but for themselves.
Honestly, I think I shook my father's hand for the first time back in March of 2015. My mother is not alive. I don't have any grandparents. So this is, in terms of parents, this is the only person I have. I really haven't met many people on his side of the family. Over the course of about 10 years or so, I met about 8 or 9 siblings that I'm starting to know. A few of them I'm really close to, but haven't totally connected with everybody like I would like. But I have a whole side of my family. My children don't know my father. So I'm trying to, you know, it's bigger than me. And that's what I had to place that in my mind and in my heart that, you know, although I went through a lot of pain, he was a young guy too. He made mistakes too. I'm human. So I don't know what was going on in his life. He didn't have his father, you know. So I think people may have to investigate a little more, perhaps, depending on their situation, listening to the other person, hearing all sides. And at some point, you got to, you know, humble yourself and be the bigger person so that the next generation can live a fulfilled life.
Yeah. You say in the book, and this is an interesting thing, that you, because of your father not being there, you were a statistic. What does it feel like for you now to be Mike Dean and to not be defined by being part of a percentage, but to be who you are and to stand in that and to show other people another way?
You know, I walk with my head up. I know I'm a leader. I know who I am now. You know, in fact, when I spoke to my father, we had probably a few conversations over the past year. We went to dinner about 3 months ago, and he was sharing with me that George Washington Carver is our ancestor. I mean, think about that. I mean, do you know what that did to me? To say George Washington Carver is your ancestor? So now I'm thinking about, oh, man, look, no wonder I think the way I think. It's starting to, okay, no wonder I have a business mind. No wonder I'm a leader and people follow me for some reason, one reason or another. You know, so it excited me, but at the same time, it's starting to bring the pieces in my life to really, you know, kind of have this fulfilled journey that I'm actually still on. So for me now, I feel like I'm a good person. I feel like I know I'm not perfect or anything like that. I love the Lord. I love my family. I love my wife and my children. And I'm just doing the best I could be, do the best I can to be the best person I could be.
Yeah. You talked about being a leader. Is that something that was easy for you to embrace? I mean, was it easy for you to get to a place where you saw yourself as the greatness that you are?
You know, I think I started out just being a doer. I just did. You know, if I wanted to do a side job when I learned how to do construction, I just did it. I just did it. And then at times, when the side job was too big for me, I needed help. So I say, hey, can you help me? Well, I don't really know how to do what you do. I'll show you. So it just kind of came like that in different areas of my life. It wasn't, hey, I'm the leader. It was more like, hey, look, I was learning. I was kind of a few steps ahead of somebody, and I just showed them what I learned.
Yeah. Wow. And I think that is something, again, all of us can learn from. And I think the other thing is, too, none of us have all the answers. And I think so many times, again, as men, we sometimes are the most difficult to be able to admit that to. But we don't have all the answers. And that all of us, you know, are moving 46. Yeah.
Socrates said, when I think I know nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You know, so that leads me to this question. Then we're going to be letting our audience know how they can get the book. You know, I think you just said something that I think is so important, because we'll never get it just right. None of us are perfect, and we won't be able to attain that here. But do you hope that everyone realizes that every one of us, whether we are the child, we are the parent that was not there, or even the parent or the individual that was there trying to stand in the gap and do what they can, that we all are work in progress? Because I think so many times we beat ourselves up about not doing what someone else is doing or not being able to keep up with what someone else is doing. Do you hope that also is a message that gets through, that everybody has their own situation, that we are all a work in progress? The main thing is to make sure that we're doing our best.
Exactly. You know, it's finding your place. It's finding out who you are. It's connecting with the right people. It's believing in your heart that things are going to get better, and you're going to play your part and your role and do your absolute best to help facilitate that process, because life is nothing but a big process.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing but a big process, and you just jump into the process and hope that you can see the hope, the process through in that particular area.
Yeah. You know, we began this conversation, Mr. Dean, with the question that the book asks. And so I want to ask you the question in a different way. Of course, the title of the book is, What If I Had a Father, the Man I Never Knew? Do you think your life would have been much different if you had? Do you think you would have become the person that you are today if you had been had a father figure in your life?
Well, if I had a father like me, that should be a book. But if I had a father like how I am with my children, I think I would have went to college. Perhaps I would have probably played sports in college. I think I would have I'd have been disciplined a lot more. Although I was very respectful to my mother, but we just had like a horrible situation with like drug abuse, alcohol abuse in our home. Where drug dealers sold drugs out of our home. So I feel like if I had my father there, I think he would have just got rid of a lot of that stuff and we'd have had some peace in our home and just having that support. Because to me, that was one of the main things I wanted was support and somebody say, go, that's my boy.
Yeah. Well, you know what? And now you're able to say that. I think that's the thing, you know. I mean, now that you're able to start this new chapter as a father yourself, I mean, that's something, of course, that you can look forward to for sure. Again, everyone, Mike Dean has been our guest. Great conversation with you, Mr. Dean. The book is available through our friends at Amazon.com or through BarnesandNoble.com. You can get it there as well. Mr. Dean, how can our audience stay connected with you and keep up what's coming up next for you?
Well, you can go to my website, DeanBooks.com. There's information on there. I'm on social media. You can follow me on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I think Twitter, Instagram, my name is I Am Mike Dean, all one word, and my name is just Mike Dean on Facebook, and I have two Facebook pages. So you connect with me there, and I'll be glad to answer questions and kind of have chats with people.
All right. Well, Mr. Dean, thank you so much for the time today. I really appreciate it. Congratulations to you on the book and looking forward to having you back on the program again.
Thank you, and it was my pleasure.
All right. And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. Now, for our radio audience, you all stay where you are. There's more Conversations Live to come for you. For those joining us online, though, we are going to lose you. So if you came in late, you missed part of the conversation with Mr. Dean, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available through our social media site. So head over to Facebook.com/CyrusWeb. Or go over to Twitter.com/CyrusWeb. We've already tagged Mr. Dean on Twitter and Facebook, so you guys can easily find him there as well. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.